appreciate that. Take your Bibles this morning, look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. We are entering into the resurrection season, if we want to call it that. I think it's something that the Bible focuses much on, and that's what Jesus did for us. Amen. We're going to talk about that this morning and focus on what our role can be and should be in the resurrection and what we are to do about it. And Paul is giving this church at Corinth here a beautiful picture of what has taken place at the resurrection and what took place after the resurrection and what the church at Corinth's role was to be. And I want to challenge you in that this morning very briefly. Let's begin reading in verse number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and that seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that was seen of James, and then all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." I want you to notice in verse number 3 and 4, he said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Those two verses give us a wonderful illustration, example, definition, whatever you want to call it. This right here is the very gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I want you to take note with that in mind what Paul said in verse number 11. He said, "Therefore, whether it were I or they," notice the next three words, he said, "so we preach." I want to preach a message entitled this morning, "So We Preach." Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, I'm so overwhelmed today, God, by your goodness. And Father, I pray today that as we look at this passage, Father, as we look forward to in 2 weeks, as we celebrate together the wonderful resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we know that we can't get to the resurrection without his life. We know we can't get to the resurrection without his death, his burial. And Father, we're glorifying you and glorify your name to know that Jesus Christ didn't stay buried in that grave, but he gloriously resurrected, giving power unto that death, giving power unto his life, giving power unto his burial, and Father, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Father, may you help us today to just get a hold of what it is we are to proclaim, that we are to preach. Help us diligently, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We tell about a lot of things. When we come across something that is good, something that is wonderful, we just can't wait to tell. And when we tell, if we get a great deal on something that we're buying, we may go and we may tell everybody, man, I got a great deal on this. And everybody wants a great deal, don't you? I mean, we're all looking for great deals. That's just what we like to do. I like to know about good restaurants. You find a good restaurant, sometimes those are rare to find, but you find one and you want to tell people about it. You say, man, I had a great meal there. It was delicious. I had this. And you tell all about the experience. I had a good server. And we do just the same if something is poorly done too, don't we? We tell all about it. I can remember Chloe was about, I think she was 7, 8 weeks old, not too old. We were visiting my mother in Indianapolis, and we were on vacation, and we had her in a stroller and her car seat, and we were walking through downtown Indianapolis, and we saw a restaurant, and we had heard this restaurant advertised, but yet we had never been there before, and heard it on the radio. And I told her, I said, hey, there's that restaurant there. Let's go inside and eat. It's I've heard a lot about it. And so we went inside, and it was a dimly lit, and it looked very nice. I was in blue jeans and a t-shirt, and Rachel was kind of dressed down a little bit. We had the stroller and Chloe and all of that, and we go inside, and they're dressed very nicely, and behind the counter they asked us, they said, would you like us to take the stroller? We've never been asked that before in a restaurant. But I said, sure. So they took the stroller and put it in a back closet there, and we carried the car seat back with Chloe in it, and we sat down, and it was really nice. The waiters had bow ties on, and they were all dressed very nicely, and we sat down. They gave us our menus, and I looked at my menu, and Rachel looked at her menu, and we didn't speak. Eventually, I lowered mine, and she lowered hers, and she said, are we staying? I said, look. I said, they're already expecting us to leave. Just by the way we looked, Bob, I'm telling you, they expected us to leave. I said, you know what? We're on vacation. Let's do this. And so we ate the most expensive meal we've ever eaten. And it was awesome. I mean, it was truly amazing. I had a steak, and it was delicious, and Rachel had a steak, and it was delicious because I had some of it because she didn't finish it. So I helped her with that. That's what I love about her. Part of what I love about her, she doesn't finish all her steak. And so I'm able to help her with that. But we had never been to Ruth's Chris before. Oh, yeah. I mean, 500-degree plate with butter flowing over the steak. I mean, there's nothing better to me. I haven't found a better steak yet. Joe thinks I could find one, but I'm not sure. We've tried. I remember going home to my mother's house and telling her, I said, Mom, you're not going to believe this steak I had. It was amazing. And so the next time we came back home to Indianapolis, my mom said, hey, let's go to dinner. I want to try that Ruth's Chris place you told me all about. I said, She said, don't worry, I'm buying. I said, let's go. And she did. She took all of us. She took my sister and her husband. And at that time, we had a couple more kids. Abby was there. My sister had a couple more kids. There was a bunch of us. And it was amazing. But, you know, my mom never would have tried that if I hadn't told her. She just wouldn't. And we just kind of stumbled upon it. And again, it's not something that we do often at all, but that particular time, it was amazing. And I told somebody, and then she told somebody, and you see, that's just kind of how those things work. Now, when Paul says here, so we preach. Now, I know what you're thinking when we talk about preaching. We say, oh, well, I'm not a preacher. You're a preacher, preacher. Because what you're doing right now is preaching. Well, look, let me just fill you in on what preach means. What preach means, very simple, is to proclaim. Anyone can proclaim. Anyone, can I say that again, can proclaim. Now, I know not everyone can get up and do what I'm doing this morning. I know that. Some of you would be so frightened to do this, you would pass out just by the very thought of doing it. Who's with me? See, I knew it. I knew it. Several of you just don't want to do this, but you can talk to somebody. I mean, you can talk to somebody. He's like BJ standing here. You know, you just ask, hey, man, what's your name? BJ. What's BJ stand for? Bo Jr. It doesn't stand. I thought your name was Willie, too. So it doesn't stand for William? Bo Jr. Okay. All right. See, I was wrong. See, we can talk to people just like that. Hi, Emily. How are you today? Did I tell you about that time? Did I tell you about that time? I did. It was awesome, wasn't it? No. It was to me. Did I tell you about that time I went down the zip line at camp? Were you there? Did you tell anybody about that? You should have. It was a lot of fun. Did you go down the zip line? You should have. It was a lot of fun. We tell things like that. But Paul said, so we preach. He wasn't talking about food. He wasn't talking about zip lines. He wasn't talking about just normal everyday conversation. When we read before this, let's get to this here, because we can tell about all of those other things, but we're to preach about Jesus. Notice he says in verse number 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand. Hey, let me tell you something. We stand on solid ground this morning. We stand on something that is greater than anything else in the entire world, and we can stand on it as firm as it is today. We stand upon Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are to preach Jesus. What about Jesus? Hey, can we just start with his life? We're to preach the life of Christ. Everything he did in the form of man. Everything he did. We talk about him coming and being born of a baby, born of a virgin as a baby in Bethlehem. We talk about that and we can proclaim that. And let me tell you something. It's more than just a cute story. It's God coming in the form of man. It's God coming for a purpose. We can talk about the times that Jesus touched the blind eyes and they could see Elijah. Listen up, I'm telling something great here, man. You need to know this about Jesus. He touched blind eyes and they saw. He touched deaf ears and they heard. We talked about this morning in Sunday school, the four men that carried that crippled man to Jesus. They let him down through the hole in the roof. And Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they said, whoa, you can't do that. Only God can forgive sins. He said, is it greater to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to take up thy bed and walk? And that's when Jesus said, hey, take up thy bed and walk. And you know what that man did? He had never walked a day in his life. He got up and he walked. Hey, that's Jesus. Hey, what about Jairus who comes to Jesus and says, hey, my son, he's sick and he's there and he's going to die if nothing happens. We've taken him to every doctor. We've done everything that there is to do. Jesus, what are we to do here? Jesus said, hey, don't worry. Thy faith hath made him whole. He said, oh, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Hey, here he is. He goes through. This is Jesus we're talking about. We're to preach Jesus. We're to preach His life. Oh, we could talk about Jesus and His disciples, how He fed the 5,000. Had He fed those with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Jesus did things deliberately, didn't He? There was nothing Jesus did that was ever on accident. No. I think about the time there was a crowd gathering around Jesus. There was a crowd there, people pushing and trying to reach out and touch Him, and a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years pushed her way through, grabbed the hem of His garment, the bottom of it, and Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" His disciples, you'll find this in the Greek, they looked at Him like He was crazy. They said, "Jesus, there's all kinds of people touching you. What do you mean, who touched you?" He said, No. The virtue left me. Who touched me? The woman that had the issue. It was me. This is Jesus. It is He who lived a sinless life, 100% God, 100% sinless man. It is Jesus that lived. We're to preach the life of Christ. Everything He did was to prove that He was God. Every miracle He performed, every time He spoke or prayed. Oh, we're talking about Jesus. Amazing what Jesus could do. You see, we're to preach the life of Christ. We're also to preach the death of Christ. Now look, I understand there's nothing pleasant about death. There's just not. And there definitely was nothing pleasant in the excruciating death that Jesus went through. Definitely wasn't something He deserved. However, He did it for us. For me, for you, your family, my family, for our city, for our county, for our state, for our country. He even did it for Mexico and Canada. He even did it for Russia. Hey, you know what? He even did it for the Middle East. We knocked on a gentleman's door yesterday, and he was of Arab descent, and said, "You have a church that you attend on Sundays?" And he said, in a little broken English, he said, "No." And I said, "Well, man, you ought to come out and see us," and told him where our church was. And he said, again, in a little broken English, he said, I'm not a Christian." He knew what we were about. He knew what we were doing. And I said, "Well, man, do you want to be?" And he said very plainly, "No." I said, "Well, you can be." He said, "No." But can I tell you, Jesus died for him? He even died for the ones that don't want to be. Jesus did that. We could focus upon His death, and we could talk about the cat of nine tails that they beat His back with, that literally ripped the flesh off of His back. We could talk about the crown of thorns that they took and drove into His head. We could talk about how they spat upon Him and beat Him and smacked His face. We could talk about how they stretched one hand out, put a nail through it, and then the other hand drove a nail through it, placing His feet one upon another and driving a spike all the way through. You see, we're to preach the death of Jesus. Because Jesus was doing something again on purpose. This was part of the plan. This was part of the purpose. And we are to preach, we are to proclaim what Jesus did. He died for us. He was paying sin's penalty for you. So we preach. So Jesus died, He lived, He died, He was buried, He rose again. What now? So we preach. We are to preach the life of Jesus. Number two, we're to preach the death of Jesus. Number three, you know where we're going here. We're to preach the burial of Jesus. You see, Jesus died, and the normal thing to do when someone dies is to bury them. And they did that. They prepared the body of Jesus. They wrapped it in the grave clothes. That was done as a custom in that particular day and time. They placed him in a tomb that Jesus did not have of his own, but that was borrowed from someone else. Somebody graciously said, you know what, I'd be honored if he would use my tomb. Jesus was buried. I think the burial part of any funeral, I think, is sometimes the most difficult part. Because usually that is it seems to bring a finality through the process. Signifies it's an ending. It's a very difficult part. And it certainly ended the humanity of Christ. But can I tell you something? That while it ended the humanity of Christ, that burial proved the humanity of Christ. He was 100% man. God wrapped up in flesh, and they killed him, and he died, and he did it willingly. When they were asking Jesus, and as he was going through his trial, they said, "Don't you know we have the power?" Jesus said, "You don't have power except my Father gives it." You know, I would think, Scripture doesn't tell us this, it's just in my own mind, in my own opinion here, as Jesus was crucified, I would think that a normal man being hung on the cross probably had to have two or three, four soldiers holding those arms down and getting them in place. I don't know, but I'd like to think, because it was in God's plan, and when it came time for Jesus, I think maybe he just, I don't know that, but I picture that in my mind. Because he willingly did it as man and God. He understood the purpose. Even as agonizing as it was, but that burial proved the humanity of Christ. They put him to death. They buried him. We're to preach it. We're to preach it because it happened. We're to proclaim that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, doing all the miracles that he did, proving his Godhead, his divinity. But he was crucified. He was put to death. We're to preach his death. We're to preach his burial because it's the finality of his humanity. But notice, as the Bible says, "For that I received how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Look, we're to preach the resurrection Jesus Christ. You see, it is the resurrection that brings the power to his life. It is the resurrection that brings the power to his death. It is the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, that brings the power to his burial. And this is what we are to preach. We're to preach. We're to proclaim the resurrection because it proved the divinity of Christ. His burial proved his humanity, but his resurrection proved his divinity. He defeated life. He was sinless, yet he suffered death. He defeated death. He defeated the grave as he was resurrected. You and I can now experience eternal life in heaven because Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Amen. Look, folks, this is something that you and I can get excited about. It's better than any restaurant we've ever been to. It's better than any life experience that you and I can talk about now. We can talk about and tell everybody about the birth of babies, and we tell about all of those things. We tell about the horrible things in our life. We tell about the good things in our life. But let me tell you something, there's nothing better than the day that Jesus Christ saved you. And so we preach. Paul says here, he says, yes, we have the death, we have the burial, we have the resurrection, and because of that, because of where you and I stand, so we preach. What are we doing in our lives today? We are to be preaching, we are to be proclaiming, we're to be telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Easter is a whole lot more than eggs and bunnies. Hallelujah. It's about a resurrected Savior. Somebody wants to know, why don't we do Easter egg hunts? I'm not even going there. Jesus is resurrected. That, my friend, is what it's all about. When we tell people, we say, I am a Christian. Christian because of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to become one. There's no other way to have eternal life except through the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary and that he was buried. And let me tell you something, there's no power to that blood without the resurrection. Glory to God. Hey, let me tell you something. It's something to get excited about. It's something to tell people about. So we preach. We preach. Oh yeah. We're to proclaim. You say, no, that's just for you. You're the preacher. No. Again, I beg to differ. When the Bible gives these instructions, it's not giving them to the preacher. When he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When he said, now then are we ambassadors through Christ. He said we, did he not? You know, when Jesus, or when the scripture talks about the church, it says the church that is either in, at, or of the church. It's talking about a local assembly of believers that have assembled themselves together, and so we preach. We preach. We proclaim what Jesus has done. Look, you want to tell somebody about Crossroads Baptist Church, the first thing you ought to tell them is, we preach. We preach the gospel. Amen. For 26 years, we've preached the gospel. And the moment, listen, the moment we stop preaching the gospel is the moment that we cease being a church. So we preach. But it requires each one of us proclaiming the gospel. Because Jesus died to save you. He was buried, but he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. That's important. Look, this is not a cheapened Hollywood movie. Amen. Say, but it brings such life to it. No. I'll take the scripture. So we preach. He said, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. Hold on. And so ye believed. I'm a Christian. Can I tell you, saying I'm a Christian does not give the gospel? Can I just say, saying to someone you need to come to church is not giving the gospel? The gospel, we've already established, is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are not to preach our church. We are not to preach that I am a Christian. We are to preach the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. It doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any more clear of what we are to give. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Hey, you want, we have 2 weeks and Resurrection Sunday's coming. Can I just tell you, it's a whole lot more than just breakfast. If you want to get somebody here, you could start by preaching before they ever get here. Hey, it's Easter Sunday. You should come to church with me. You're going to hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Some people, you say, everybody already knows about that. No, they don't. They don't know about that. Some do. But can I tell you, not everybody knows the truth about it. There's so many different things. Look, we just have to tell them. We must preach. Because Jesus died. He was buried. And He rose again the third day. So we preach. Let's preach it. Every head bowed, every eye closed.